evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English to Africa service of The Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clote in Washington, D.C.
So learning a government has been a problem because it looks like this is trial and error. So we need to go to move from trial and error to somebody who has experience.
An opposition member of parliament endorses former Malawian President Arthur Peter Mutharika for the next general election.
Why does the police keep changing goalposts for the opposition? That's the point. They keep changing, you know, about what they ask for. When the ruling party wants to hold a rally, it's no problem. But for the rest of us, it's a problem.
A Zambian opposition leader says the police are partly to blame for the shrinking democratic space.
I don't know why people are so much interested in knowing why I have decided to retire from politics. Because by the time I decided to join politics, I did not request anyone that I'm going to join politics.
And an independent Ugandan lawmaker is quitting the legislature after 15 years in office. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, the army says it foiled a coup early Sunday morning and had arrested the perpetrators, including several foreigners, after a shootout between armed men in military uniform and a top politician's guard in the capital, Kinshasa. Three people died in the shootout. The clash occurred at the politician's house on Chachi Boulevard, about 2 kilometers from the presidential palace and not far from some embassies. The incident comes as a crisis grips President Felix Tshisekedi's ruling party over an election for the parliament leadership. The vote was to have been held Saturday but was postponed. My colleague Eddie Isango with VOA's French service has been following the story and is online now to give us the latest. Hello, Eddie. How are you?
I'm okay, Peter. Fine.
Wonderful. Yourself? I'm well, thank you very much. But let me begin by asking you what the latest development is concerning this alleged coup or coup in the DRC.
Yes, the situation is now calm, as stated by the this army spokesperson. He called all the citizens to go back to their regular activities because they, as you said, they followed the coup.
Has the government said anything apart from the spokesperson of the military urging Congolese to go back to their work as the situation remains calm? Has the government said anything about it or reacted to the attempted coup?
No. Up to now, the government is just referring to what the army spokesperson said. They said that people have been arrested, and among them, they replay. So I just saw I tried first to call the government spokesperson who didn't respond, but I went to his ex account, and there it just relayed what the military spokesperson said.
Eddie, what has been the reaction of Congolese, especially those in the capital, Kinshasa, following this attempted coup?
Yes, they were confused in the morning, but since the authorities called them to peace, and ensure them they are now back to their activities. You know, there was a concert, a religious concert, a big one that should take place today. People were reluctant to go, but at some point the government and the military authorized people to go. They tried to not give too much importance to this coup. That's why they allowed people to go and to go even to the concert at the Kinshasa big stadium, Stadium of Martyrs.
Do we know what happened to the leader of this attempted coup?
According to sources close to the presidency, the person whose name is Malanda was killed by the army, Kisha Malanga, was killed by the army just some hours after the coup. And they said that some of them, including him, had the extraneous passports, and they say that he's an American. And I saw in the videos that spread in the net that some are even Canadian. But the U.S. embassy reacted to that, saying that they are preoccupied by this development, and they asked the government to make an investigation and to bring to the courts those who are responsible, though they may be American. So it said the U.S. ambassadors, Lucy Cummings, said exactly like this. I'm quoting, "I'm shocked by the events of this morning and very concerned by a report of American citizen allegedly involved. Please be assured that we cooperate with the DRC authorities to the fullest extent, and they're asking the government to hold accountable any U.S. citizen involved in criminal acts."
Now, getting some reaction from Congo online, and especially on social media platforms, some people are saying that this seemed to be politically motivated, and that some are saying these attempted coup or perpetrators of this coup were too inexperienced. But how do you expect 40 people to fit the FARDC and the presidential guards, and they are too inexperienced, and that this was just a joke? What are you hearing?
That's what appear. I talked to some people, they have the same reaction, because it seems that they were not well organized. They just took control of the palace, the president's palace, which is the office, but they didn't take control of any other place, like airports, like the national TV radio. Even they didn't try to catch the president. That's why people think that it's a joke. But I can see, I've seen in the past Christian Malanga introducing himself like a former U.S. military and even Congolese military. And in the past, he was trying to run for presidential, but he didn't do that. Mm-hmm. I think it might be political because he said that it was saying in the video posted before he was killed that it finished for Felix Tshisekedi regime, because people are tired. They are suffering so much. I know, you know that people in Congo, some are complaining of the suffering, and there were some problems with between even the Cardinal of Kinshasa and the president, because he said the same thing. He said people, some are going to the rebellion because they are suffering, and the government is not doing well its job. It just last week that they came together to talk about that, and they made peace about that, because they were trying to take to the court the cardinal for saying this.
Thank you very much, Eddie, for your report. That was Eddie Isango with VOA's French to Africa service. In Malawi, a lawmaker from the Opposition Alliance for Democracy, or AFOD, has endorsed former President Arthur Peter Mutharika for the next general election. Parliamentarian member Yerenian Chihana also called on his party to form an alliance with Mutharika's Democratic Progressive Party, or the DPP, to boost the prospect of the former president returning to power. But his endorsement and call for an alliance appears to have enraged some members of the party. A section of it is demanding disciplinary action against Chihana, including a possible expulsion from AFOD. But Chihana tells me that for his party to win power, it needs an alliance with the former president's party to wrestle power from incumbent President Lazarus Chakwera.
Well, that is very true. I did that mention in parliament, and now I'm also saying the same thing now. We are looking at his experience, and the challenges which Malawians are facing now require quite a lot of experience to solve them and to put them in order. So learning a government has been a problem because troops practice try and error. So we need to go to move from try and error to somebody who has experience and makes concrete and sensible decisions.
But Mr. Yeremia, your party has yet to officially endorse former President Professor Peter Arthur Mutharika. So why do you go ahead of your party? Wouldn't this put you a bad light with your party or undermine what your party wants to do?
I'm saying by nature and whatever, it is the intent that is being expressed now, even if it is through me as an elected member of parliament. But the bottom line is no single party can get 50 plus one in the way the country is modified. So it will require at least an alliance partnership. And I'll afford the party which believes in alliances is the one which should be in the forefront motivating the other partner. So we're just motivating the other partner that we should form a formidable alliance ahead of the elections. Whatever will be happening at the convention will be just a matter of endorsing what we've already put in the discussion.
What do you say to critics who say that Malawians rejected the former president in the last election, which allowed the Tonse Alliance, led by incumbent president Lazarus Chakwera, to win? So what makes you confident that your endorsement or possible alliance with your party would give him the nod to come back to power?
That assertion that Malawians rejected, well, they did reject, but mind you, Professor, even when he went for the election, he had 1.9 million votes. And the difference between Professor and the joint alliances of the Tonse Alliance led by Chakwera had a difference of marginal difference of less than 200,000 or 200 votes, because we don't know what happened with the other monitors who did not submit their votes, the votes for APA, for Professor Arthur Peter Mutharika. Now, to say that Professor Arthur Mutharika was rejected, I don't think it is totally agreeable or acceptable, because he had a marginal position that he actually won the elections. Who went for a rerun, obviously, was going to carry the day.
What makes you confident that the former president will come back?
The former president, with the combination of the Alliance for Democracy, definitely is going to come back, and people are looking for the experience in him. The material substance on the ground, the cost of living has gone up. It's not even manageable to a common man. The cost of doing production of any goods, be it agriculture or even industries, are just collapsing or falling apart. The level of unemployment has gone beyond what was imagined. The closure of Adumac, which was not even acceptable to be closed, it is quite unacceptable to the people of Malawi. Let alone the management of the common agriculture production input, which is called fertilizer, is quite a product that now is not even affordable by a common man. Now, the policy mix which are in the country at the moment do not favor any production of any kind, and let alone tobacco. Which means, I think, there is very, very little chance of Chakwera taking over this government again. We are about 110% confident that we are winning the elections.
Some of your party members are calling for you to face disciplinary action for going ahead of your party to endorse the former president. Some are even saying that you should be expelled from the party.
That's a very, very good position, but you see, a position can come in form where it's just a matter of understanding, the common understanding and the belief that is being suggested for us to go ahead with the former president, Professor Arthur Peter Mutharika. The president of the Alliance for Democracy is advocating for federal system of government. Professor Arthur Peter Mutharika is advocating for the same common understanding. So it is just a matter of putting the two philosophies together to put the people to the understanding that this is what we are advocating for, and this is the right partner to go with. I doubt if they will hear my understanding, my views, they will go the other way. I will end up agreeing. You see, in any discourse, it is very important to agree and to disagree, and later on the majority will carry the day. So we will reach an understanding when we go to such a discordium of discussion.
Yeremia Chihana is a lawmaker from the Malawi Opposition Alliance for Democracy, or AFOD. He spoke with me from the capital, Lilongwe. In Zambia, Madam Chishala Kateka, the leader of the opposition New Heritage Party, says the police are partly to blame for the shrinking democratic space. She says they routinely use, quote, security concerns as a reason to prevent opposition leaders and critics of the administration from holding rallies. Her remarks come as the New Heritage Party, a member of the opposition coalition called the United Kwacha Alliance, informed the police about plans to hold a political rally in June. The police reject the accusation. They are blocking the opposition, saying they are doing their jobs to maintain law in order to protect lives and property. For more about the planned opposition rally and issues to be addressed, I reach Madam Chishala Kateka.
One of the easiest ways to reach a large group of people is to hold a rally so that people can come together and listen to your message. So we want to talk about the issues that are going on in the country.
What are the major issues you want to talk to the people about?
The first and foremost, the biggest one is the issue of the high cost of living. It's just gone off the radar. The cost of living is really, really high. And people don't know why that should be the case. We want to talk about the mining sector. Government has given KCM back to Vedanta when they had promised that they would not do that. And Vedanta is a company which did not deliver. From the time that they got the mine, they've been making losses constantly, but they want to come back. Then Mopani Copper Mines is another one of the mines that has been given through a dubious process, has been given to a company from Dubai, and we don't even know who the shareholders are. You know, in spite of you doing a search, you find that this company is a special purpose vehicle. Also, we want to talk about our solution. You know, it's very important for us to give alternatives going on so that people have a chance to assess.
So why is your party displeased about a request the police made about the personalities who will be speaking at the rally? And of course, if your party is legitimate or not. I mean, the police are supposed to enforce the law, you know.
The police are part of government and the governing process. ECZ, Electoral Commission of Zambia, is part of the governance system. Registrar of societies are part of the same system. Now, when you register a party, the records are there. These are the same people who register you. So why are you asking me for my registration? Firstly, the fact that these people, these other entities, allowed me to stand in the 2021 elections, it means I am registered. Our party is registered. So why are you asking me for a registration certificate at this time? Number two, you need to bear in mind that there are laws, okay? We've got the Constitution, we've got the Public Order Act. None of them talk about us having to provide a certificate of registration. So why does the police keep changing goalposts for the opposition? That's the point. They keep changing, you know, about what they ask for. When the ruling party want to hold a rally, it's no problem. But for the rest of us, it's a problem. Yeah, this speaks into the shrinking democratic space that we have been talking about.
The question some Zambians are asking is, why would the opposition think anything coming from the police, any request coming from the police to provide additional information becomes politically motivated? Why wouldn't you just cooperate with the police so things move smoothly so they can provide adequate protection for you and the attendants at the rally?
Believe me, Peter, this rally, if we are given the permit, I'll be really surprised. Now, we have provided the information they've requested for, okay? Simply because we want to see what they will do, you know? So we are playing according to their game. But that doesn't mean we won't talk about it. We've provided what they have asked for. And this morning, we've provided that list that they've asked for. But the issue is we have to call them out because they don't do this for the ruling party. Firstly, the Constitution says give them notice for 7 days. We gave them 3 weeks notice. And their response is always, oh, security concerns. Now, we've given them 3 weeks notice so that they can address those security concerns. So we are bending over backwards to accommodate the police.
Madam Chishala Kateka is the leader of the opposition New Heritage Party. She spoke with me from the Zambian capital, Lusaka. An independent Ugandan lawmaker is quitting the legislature after 15 years in office. Susan Ameru says she is pleased with her contribution to her country and constituency over the years. She, however, cited messy politics as a major contributor to the decision to leave the lawmaking body. Speaking at a recent Cooperative Alliance regional consultative meeting, the lawmaker says it has become more expensive to campaign as an incumbent due to the high expectations of voters. She rejected criticisms that her decision was influenced by a loss of popular support, which critics say means she faces defeat in the next election. Parliament member Susanna Meru tells me that it is time for her to now rest and consider her next line of action.
When I hear people getting interested in my standing down from politics, I get so worried because I don't know why people are so much interested in knowing why I have decided to retire from politics, because by the time I decided to join politics, I did not request anyone that I am going to join politics. And now when I am retiring is when people are interested to know. I didn't have to consult anyone because I think I have given my best to my country, to my people, and I think it is time for me to retire and do other things.
Some people see you as an inspiration.
That is right. That is right. If they see me as an inspiration, for the 15 years I've been in Parliament, I think they should have learned something and they should take on from where I am ending. That's why I think we need to give an opportunity to them also to showcase what they have.
The question that people are asking is, have you groomed somebody?
The politics of Uganda is not about grooming someone. The politics of Uganda is you by yourself, for your people if you choose to, or for yourself if you want to. So I don't think I need to groom anyone for politics, because if I was to groom, I should have groomed my children. But my children are not interested in politics whatsoever. And so I don't need to groom someone, because grooming someone means I have to invest money to bring up that person. And you know, the politics of Uganda now is very expensive. If you don't have money, you can't win an election. That is the reason I'm saying, why should I spend a lot of money to campaign, come and legislate for the people, serve the people, and yet I cannot do anything for myself?
That's your patriotic duty, yeah. Some say.
But it is expensive. Even when it is your duty, when it becomes costly and you can't afford the cost, I think it is better to get out and let others have an opportunity also, because I know, as an incumbent, it is more expensive than a newcomer in the field, because the people's expectations keep growing as you take longer in that place. And if you cannot add anything, then for me, I decided that since I cannot add anything more than I have offered, I think I should also step aside and look from the side. And probably if they really see something good in me, they can ask me how I've been going about it. I am available. I will be in Uganda, and I will continue serving them in different capacities.
I understand local media has quoted you as saying you are leaving also because Ugandan politics is messy. What do you mean by that?
Politics in Uganda is messy because it is very expensive. You spend a lot of money to get into the parliament. So what do you expect such a legislator to do while in parliament? And when they get out of parliament, how are they going to go? It is not something that you're going to have a retirement package or something. So for me, I thought I have also given Uganda my best, and I can now retire and also take care of my personal interests outside parliament. Secondly, I said it is messy because even when we are debating, even when we bring up issues that affect our people, there's not much that is done. And so why would you continue talking on something that cannot be implemented? So I don't see the reason, the sense of continuing to argue or discuss something that is not going to be done.
But what do you say to those Ugandans who are of the view that perhaps joining a political party could help with your financial resources in order to contribute? An independent candidate, you are literally on your own. So if you choose to go independent, that means you are self-financing or raising funds to support your parliamentary aspirations.
It is true. I am an independent candidate who financed my campaigns in the last part. Before that, I was in the party. And why was I thrown out of the party? Because I refused to touch the constitution, which my people told me do not touch. And so I became a problem to my party, and my party had to dismiss me. So I don't see why I should continue fighting for what I'm not going to change.
Susanna Mero is an independent member of the Ugandan Parliament. She spoke with me from the capital, Kampala. A short time ago, the U.S. Department of Defense said it had wrapped up 4 days of meetings with the Department of National Defense of the Republic of Niger. The U.S. team said they had agreed that American troops in Niger would leave by September 15 this year. About 1,000 U.S. troops have been in Niger for several years as part of regional efforts to contain extremist violence in the Sahel. Senegal's Prime Minister Ousmane Sonko has questioned the military presence of former colonial ruler France, which has several bases in the West African nation, saying it impinges on Dakar's sovereignty. Sonko, speaking to Dakar University students on Thursday, said cooperation must take into account Senegal's sovereignty in both the monetary and security fields. According to the French news agency AFP, he said that we must ask ourselves the reasons why the French army still has many military bases in our country and their impact on our sovereignty and our strategic autonomy. He also said that Senegal's wish to determine its own course is incompatible with the entrenched presence of foreign military bases. For analysis and more, I reached Dr. Oluwole Ojewale. He is the regional coordinator for Central Africa at the Institute of Security Studies in Senegal.
The politicians are trying to fulfill their electoral promises. These are some of the things that they promise in terms of how they want to probably take back the country. Let me use that political lingo. In terms of probably rescuing it from established colonial power. So to the extent to which the party had about 54% of the vote, their supporters must probably be happy with this kind of drive in terms of the electoral promise. But we also listened to some other speech that he has made elsewhere. Senegalese are primarily concerned about the economic prosperity now, getting jobs for the teeming youths, and then making wealth to trickle down to the man on the streets. So these are high-level, higher-stake geopolitical issues that probably an average Senegalese on the streets is less concerned about.
He also raised the issue of getting away from the CFA franc. Is it realistic?
Yes, I think the CFA franc is entering into its twilight stage. But it's not going to come easy as some people probably deem it fit. So we are going to be looking at maybe the next 3 to 5 years, we begin to see some steps, some actions, some negotiations, because it's a common currency block. So if they are talking to each other, they need to also look for a multilateral framework that is probably going to replace that. Or if each of the countries actually want to embrace a sovereign currency, these are conversations and actions that cannot just take place in 1-2 years. So although it's part of the political promises in terms of decoupling from the CFA block, but it's not a dash, it's a marathon, if I could put it that way.
We have seen some neighboring countries in West Africa, Francophone countries, expelling French troops from their land, and with the Prime Minister questioning the presence of French troops, raising the issue of sovereignty of Senegal, do you see this happening of kicking the French troops out?
The countries you mentioned, you're talking about Burkina Faso, Mali, Niger, they have a common denominator, which is military authoritarianism. Senegal is a democracy. So the government here cannot afford to employ the same tactics, strategies, and methodology that those guys in those countries in which they are not answerable to any parliament, they can wake up and just pull out of multilateral partnerships and framework. A democracy cannot do that because it's all about consensus building, alliance building, negotiation upon negotiation. So I think the game is going to be slightly different in Senegal, but it's an idea that I think they really want to pursue in terms of some of these established partnerships. And for the military partnership that the country has had, talking about, I think, about 300 plus boots on the ground here, it goes beyond that. There's also probably the here support. There's also some bilateral military partnership that has existed between this country and its Western alliance. And then if you are pulling out of that, which direction are you facing? That is also the question that we need to ask. It's not just about rhetorical statement.
Some are saying that Prime Minister Sonko and the President should focus on bread and butter issues rather than geopolitical issues like you just mentioned, because they said that the prices of goods and services have been shooting up. They should channel their energies on it. Your thoughts?
And I can't agree less with those people who are trading those kind of perspectives, because like I said originally, geopolitics is not the issue that put food on the table for an average Senegalese, even though it's an elitist conversation. So the core issue is, how do you get people fixed? How do you get prosperity to trickle down? How do you improve on what the last administration has brought to bear in terms of economic advancement, infrastructural development, open up the spaces in the rural area, constructing roads, building schools, building hospitals? Those are issues that directly affect the people. And I think those are the areas that the people actually where the government to focus on. And I once saw Sonko himself a few days ago when he was saying in the next 2 years, Senegalese will begin to see changes. So those are the issues that the average Senegalese on the street is concerned about. It is not really high-level, higher-stake issues in geopolitics.
Dr. Oluwole Ojewale is the regional coordinator for Central Africa at the Institute for Security Studies in Senegal. He spoke with me from the Senegalese capital, Dakar. In Africa, about 15% of the population faces disability challenges despite advancements in technology. Limited infrastructure and high cost of assistive tech create barriers to digital access, leading to exclusion. A recent conference in Nairobi, Kenya, aims to help change that. For VOA, Mohamed Yusuf reports.
Edwin Omulama is one of millions of people living with disabilities in Africa. He's here today to learn how technology can assist him in moving without the aid of someone or his walking stick. A device attached to his feet can prevent collisions, safeguarding him from injuries.
Many people are able to know us from the use of the walking stick, but with the cameras, people will not understand us, and they will think that we are normal and will be operating as normal people. And I believe it will help us to be more independent when it comes to walking, identifying of objects.
At the Inclusive Africa Conference, at least 20 innovators display technologies designed to improve the independence of persons with disabilities. According to the United Nations, more than 80 million people in Africa are disabled. By 2050, 3.5 billion worldwide will need assistive technology. The devices displayed here are designed to address disabilities, from aiding communication for people with verbal and vision impairments to facilitating easier movement. Faustina Urasa from Tanzania says being assisted into a vehicle can be very upsetting. She's excited that there are vehicles with ample space that enable her to access the car from the back while remaining in her wheelchair. She says there are times when someone touches her in a way that makes her uncomfortable, but a new device helps preserve her dignity. She says she's relieved that she won't have to be carried and touched anymore. Now she can enter the vehicle with respect and sit comfortably. It brings her immense joy, she says. Access to assistive technology is poor in Africa and is blamed on poverty, the environment, lack of knowledge, and lack of support services and service providers. Organizers and participants at the conference held in Nairobi this week discussed the challenges they face as disabled individuals and the costs and opportunities in assistive technology. Advocacy group in Able organized the conference. Irene Mbari-Kirika is the founder and CEO.
We also want to unlock the Africa AT ecosystem and assist African countries and innovators in developing policies and funding structures that can help innovation thrive in Africa. We also want to empower youth with disabilities with the right information, tools, and opportunities to become digital accessibility champions across the continent.
As the conference ends, those living with disabilities and their advocates hope their voices will be heard and be supported by getting tools to better their lives. Mohammed Yusuf, VOA News, Nairobi.
This is The Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, and music from our African collection. But first, now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospect in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. More than likely, many of those tuned in last Friday to listen to the Israeli presentation to counter the presentation of South Africa last Thursday, were disappointed. Instead of matching the polished presentation of the South African legal representatives, those from Israel spent more time trying to rubbish South Africa presentation without accompanying legal arguments. The problem of that approach is that South Africa's presentation on Thursday were more in line with the abundance of evidence available to the global community. The same evidence that have motivated students from the global north all around to criticize what they consider heavy carpetbagging of Israel in Gaza, and therefore calling for ceasefire or sanctions against Israel. One may wonder why, appearing before the ICJ, the Israeli representatives did not treat that court with more respect. Some have argued that the intent of the Israeli legal representative was not to present legal arguments, but a PR job. But there may be something more. The fact is that Africans have always noticed that when Africans raise their voice in international forum, some would prefer that the African representatives are seen without hearing. But this itself is not really important. Let me explain two areas of argument put forward by the Israeli representative. One is a baseless argument that South Africa was acting as the legal representative of Hamas, not even the Palestinian, Hamas. No evidence for that argument. Secondly, they said that South Africa was hoping to benefit from the victory of Hamas over Israel. Again, no cogent evidence was presented. This is also in line with what has been observed, that often many in the global north do not take seriously African representatives' pronouncements, but they have failed to understand, perhaps arrogantly, reluctantly, that the world has changed dramatically, and the African continent and people of today are not those of even the 18th century. They can match any intellectual or debating giant that could be produced from the global north. And this is why you have a problem, not only in Gaza, but in Ukraine. The global north puts forward a narrative of the war in Ukraine. They do the same in Gaza. And in both instances, they are trying to erase relevant history. Obviously, there will be a divergence of views. So my appeal to those from the global north, that they should show more decent respect of those from the global south, because they could make excellent contribution to the maintenance of international peace and security.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs. And it's Sunday on Nightline Africa. This is the time we get to relax and reflect, a flashback with music from the continent. I be hustle to work. Say, do a leg me and see. For more dogs to do, we been hustle to work. Say, do a leg my people, they my people suffer. Them they pray for blessings. Say, do a leg my people, they them they pray for blessings. For better living.
Sanchez. Yeah, I don't wanna hurt anymore. Moyo si mama when you calling my phone. Nikki Tazama, oh no, I'm not alone. And I'm feeling at home, but my loving be so low. Daily be thinking about my Caribbean. Oh yeah, yeah, she part of me. It's not alarming me that we still building up this chemistry. So don't you mess with she. I got some angels in my love for this positivity. So don't you get up on my temper. I got some fire inside, who, and I'm next up. And you don't believe who. Catch me in a few years, few gears. Who hears your Allah and the man up in the mirror. So let me get a little bit of clearer. Can you see me? Nitizame kwenye kiyo. Una pendeza ukijisliri na mtandiyo. Milio, mdani nitetizi koje kwa.
All my temper, 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 temper. All my temper, 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 temper. All my temper, 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 temper. All my temper, 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 temper.
You got my feelings, you hurt my feelings. Reason I don't really wanna stress no more.
You doubt my feelings, broke my heart. So I never really wanna see your face no more.
Cool my temper, out of my pressure. I love what you're feeling cause I'm feeling vibration. Baby motivation, that in my amper. So I need a fist one, I really wanna step up. Baby like you're feeling me. Baby on your body you go dancing me. Shady who you feel like you're holding me. I don't wanna dance when I'm feeling me. If I find love, not anymore. Yeah, I don't wanna fight anymore. Running for love, might wanna start a war. Yeah, I don't wanna fuck anymore. Waste it on my time, but I waste no more. Yeah, I don't wanna fight anymore. Running for your love, might wanna make a war. And I'm not falling.
All my temper, 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 temper. All my temper, 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 temper.
I don't wanna hide anymore. Even if I find love, not anymore. Yeah, I don't wanna fight anymore. Running for your love, might wanna start a war. Yeah, I don't wanna fuck anymore. Waste it all my time, but I waste no more. Yeah, I don't wanna fight anymore. Running for your love, might wanna make a war. And I'm not falling.
All my temper, 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 temper. Cool my temper, 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 temper. Cool my temper, 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 temper. Cool my temper, 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 temper.
Thank you very much. I miss you, but we dey fight, don't mean say make we break up, oh. That is to say, baby, make we no give up, oh. You dey my mind anytime where I wake up, oh. Yeah, and I dey beg, baby, make we make up, oh. Yeah, take off I cheat where you cheat where I cheat where you cheat back, baby, make we cancel. Take off I cheat where you cheat where I cheat where you cheat back, baby, make we cancel. I don't feel like I did you wrong. That be why I sing this song. Loving you is all I want. I just want to let you know, man, I miss you bad. I miss you bad.
I'm staying, I suppose, cause I don't know how I'm getting home. Cause it's been so rough, couple days on the road, couple days in the same clothes. Baby, I've been so drunk, thinking about touching your body. Girl, I know that you love me, so bit I try your eyes. Memories can't tell me the lie. Girl, how many times must I apologize? Yeah, kill, I'm on me, yeah, kill. Hit me, don't go any bad.
Take off, I cheat where you cheat where I cheat where you cheat back. Baby, make me cancel. Take off, I cheat where you cheat where I cheat where you cheat. Baby, make me cancel. I don't feel like I did you wrong. That be why I didn't sing this song. Loving you is all I want. I just want to let you know, man, I miss you, but I miss you, but
cheat back, baby, make we cancel that. Take off, I cheat where you cheat, where I cheat, where you cheat back, baby, make we cancel that. I don't feel like I did you wrong. That be why I didn't sing this song. Loving you is all I want. I just want to let you know, man, I miss you back.
That was our Sunday Music Spot. Hope you enjoy the music from Nightline Africa here at the English to Africa service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know, by now, we are on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Mukbil Yabaro and engineer Mr. Tino, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, when the hyena thinks to eat its own children, it first accuses them of smelling like goats. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Good evening, Africa. Everybody.